Would you please now turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, near the end of the Bible, one of the last parts of the New Testament. We're going to return back to 2 Peter after a short break last week, and we basically enter into a new section of 2 Peter, and we're going to, for the next 2 weeks, Lord willing, look at verses 12 through 21, and so this morning I'm going to read this little passage, but we're going to consider specifically verses 12 through 15 this morning. So please give your attention to the reading of God's Word. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in the body, this body that is, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the mountain, that holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. And would you pray again with me? Heavenly Father, we do ask now for the blessing, your blessing upon the reading and the preaching of your word, that we might grow in grace. Please do feed our souls by your Holy Spirit. In his name we pray. In the name of Christ Jesus, our King and Head. Amen. Well, the introduction of this letter that we have just finished studying in the past couple weeks revealed the grace of God to believers in Jesus Christ. And then Peter called us to embrace the gospel and to live a life of continued growth in the knowledge of Christ and maturity in him. Well, verse 12 that we have just read, in this verse, Peter begins a transition to the body of his letter. This passage, actually, it reveals his concern for writing the letter. You see, believers like us, we do not live in a bubble. We don't live in a bubble of safety and peace, like a force field where there are no attacks from the world. Rather, we live in the real world. The world, meaning the unbelieving world around us, lives also in open rejection of Jesus Christ and his disciples. And so in this real world in which we live without some force field that we would like to have, we find ourselves in a situation where we live next door and around and work with and integrated into the world. And the world who hates Christ will seek to discourage us and distract us and destroy us as we follow Christ, our Savior. And to add to the difficulty of this Christian life, Christ calls us to live by faith and not by sight. In other words, we who are believers in Christ, we must live with our hope set upon promises that will be fulfilled, not now in the full, but in the future, and specifically in the future return of Jesus Christ in glory. And as a result, the Christian life is very difficult. And so this letter comes from Peter's heart. This letter addresses the real life that we live today. If we're going to persevere in this life as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must accept this truth that we cannot do it in our own strength. We need help. And in verses 12 through 21 of 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter identifies that we need the Bible. We need the Bible as our help. And we need it as our help for two reasons. First, the Bible is a continual reminder of Christ. And second, the Bible is a certain reminder of Jesus Christ. We're going to consider these two truths in the next couple of weeks. But today we're going to focus on the first one, this truth that we need the Scriptures. And we need the Scriptures before us regularly, or as Peter says, continually, so that we will remember Christ. We're going to consider both of these points with the same outline. We're going to consider the problem stated, the provision, and then the command that we receive from Christ here. So let's consider the problem first. In verses 12 through 15, Peter spoke about the need to remember three times. I don't know if you noticed that as we read, but there is some reference to our memory and actively remembering Christ three times. And so this observation, it should be a clue to the point Peter is trying to make, and really a clue to the problem that we have. Our memory. Our memory is a problem. As we get old, we start forgetting things. But this is not just a problem for old people. It's a problem for older people and like 40-year-old people, as has been demonstrated today. But it's even a problem for children. You know, what I find is that my children even tell me that they forgot what I told them to do. I say, "Did you mow the lawn?" And they went, "Oh, I forgot, Dad." Well, all of us understand how easy it is to forget the responsibilities and the commands that God gives to us. But what's funny is sometimes my children, they even forget that we planned a fun activity. And we wake up in the morning and say, "Get your ski stuff on, we're going." And they go, "Whoa, wait a minute. I forgot that we were doing that." Or what's even more profound is that sometimes my children, they'll forget that they have some candy stored in the pantry. I mean, who forgets candy that you have? The problem but Peter acknowledges that we have a memory problem. And Peter knows it personally. Peter himself, even though he was an apostle, he was a fallen man with a fallen human mind. And he had what was called theologically the noetic effects of sin. And part of that is not just the resistance of studying the Bible and studying to know the Lord, but part of it's just plain the fact that we forget things. And we don't want to remember. He knows how easy it is to forget even glorious things like Christ. Because what did he do? One minute he was praying with the Savior who came in the flesh. And the next minute he was cursing and saying, "I do not know him." He knew personally how easily we forget. And so Peter, he addressed the problem of our memory. You see, we forget the gospel very often. In verse 12, Peter wrote that he intended to remind us of these things, though we know them and are established in the truth that we have. We need to think about who Peter is writing to. He's not writing to necessarily ignorant or naive Christians, these baby believers that all they know is that Jesus is the Son of God and there's no salvation outside of faith in him. He's writing to believers in a church that was established on the sound truth of God. And we need to realize he's even writing to people like us, confessionally reformed believers with a thoughtful catechism and confession of faith. People who are known to understand justification, sanctification, adoption, glorification, the truths of the gospel. In verses 3 through 11, we find a summary of the truth that Peter acknowledges we have. It's a truth that should live in us. It's a truth that he says, "I know lives in your hearts and your minds." And what is that truth? He said the first truth is the gospel, that God has taken sinners and given them the promises of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, God has forgiven their sin, the sin of sinners, repentant believers in Christ, through his blood. The blood of his Son. And God has given believers the power to now live lives that glorify him. What wonderful news, what wonderful truth we have that's been revealed to us by the Spirit and the Word. And the second truth flows out of this knowledge of the gospel. Believers in Christ, we who are believers in Christ must now live according to God's grace. In other words, we should see the power of God at work in us, maturing us with steadfastness and faith and self-control and godliness and love. And we should make every effort to see these attributes, these fruits of the Spirit of God's work in us manifest in our lives. Many of us here today know the gospel. Many of us here can recite the Shorter Catechism. Many of us here can recite many passages of Scripture and defend the doctrine we confess from the Bible. Some of us have studied the Bible formally, and some have studied it informally. But we need to know, and we need to understand who we are, and the truth that it is possible to know much about the Bible, much about Christ, much about the gospel, but forget it quickly. Forget it even in a moment, as Peter did. In verse 9, Peter wrote, "For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." You see, the Bible itself acknowledges that it's easy to forget our standing before God. It's easy to leave worship and forget God's grace and love before you leave the parking lot. It's easy for Jeremiah and Allison to forget those vows that they've made or forget what God has done by claiming their daughter is his. Our thoughts stray. Temptations stir inside of us. And we can forget who we are in a moment and act like unregenerate sinners. And that's Peter's concern. That's Peter's concern for the church of the first century, but really the church of all time. We easily forget who we are in Jesus Christ. Now, this isn't a new problem. It's not a problem of modern civilization like the Greek or Roman civilization that had written stuff and we didn't have to depend so much upon oral tradition. But it's a problem that's old. It's a problem that has been around ever since the fall. And actually, when you read the Bible, you learn about the history of Israel, the people of God. And what stands out about the history of Israel is it's a story of the church forgetting that they were God's covenant people. The whole book of Judges describes that roller coaster of forgetting and remembering that God is the King of Israel. Psalm 78, it speaks of the story of Israel. Although they saw the pillar of fire, the Spirit of God leading them through the wilderness, having delivered them from Egypt, they quickly forgot him. David had to be called back to repentance by the prophet Nathan because he forgot that he was the man after God's own heart, that he was redeemed, that he was the king over Israel, and he began to live like a Philistine, like a pagan. Hezekiah and Josiah, when they read the word of God, they went, "Oh, we've so perverted worship. We forgot what God calls us to do." And these two kings had to reform worship because Israel forgot how God called them to commune with him. You see, the history of Israel is a history of the church forgetting that they were the holy nation of God and living in the sin of pagan society. It's a history of forgetting that Yahweh is the one true God and rejecting him for gods of their imaginations. And you see, God had to remind Israel continually, Sabbath after Sabbath, festival after festival, prophet after prophet, king after king. God had to remind Israel continually of their redemption and their identity as his holy people. And the problem didn't start with Christ, as if the resurrection of Christ totally fixed our memory problem and our identity problem. Rather, the early church had the same problem. The letters of the New Testament reveal how easily the church strayed from the truth of the gospel. Just read one. Randomly just pick one, open your Bible to it and read, and you'll find that in some way the apostle is writing to turn the church from error back to the truth in Christ. And so here we find nothing new. The same answer, the same warning that the church of all time has needed. Here Peter warns us about forgetting the gospel because we know, he knows that we tend to stray like sheep. Even Peter, a shepherd of the church, strayed over and over again. And our little congregation can easily forget who we are. We can easily forget our purpose. This isn't just an individual problem. This can also be a corporate problem. Christ called us to be about worshiping Him in spirit and truth. He called us to be about living out lives of obedience and sonship to God the Father. He called us to be about taking the gospel to lost sinners. But really, in a heartbeat, in a moment of comfort, even in a moment of trial, we can easily replace this purpose, this glorious purpose that Christ has called us to, for a false one. We're not about buildings or programs or events. Rather, we are about a renewed relationship with our Creator through the mediation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must care about the spiritual growth of saints and the salvation of sinners first of all. And we must remember who we are. You see, when we forget who we are, when we forget, we descend into all sorts of confusion, all sorts of doubting, all sorts of deception, and all sorts of sin. We have a memory problem. Peter knows it personally. And he knows it also as he's carried along by the Spirit of God, carrying on Christ's ministry as apostle to shepherd the church, who's forgetful, just like sheep are forgetful. Let's consider second the provision of Christ here. You see, the key to persevering as a believer in Christ is remembering who you are. It's remembering what God has done to redeem you and what God is doing in you now. The problem is that we need outside help to remember these things. So consider what Christ has provided to help us remember the truth of the gospel. The first thing we find is the apostolic ministry. Christ provided the apostles. What a great provision that was. How wise Christ was. He provided the apostles to preach the word of God continually before the church after he ascended up into the right hand of God. The apostles led the church into all truth because we forget easily. And because false teachers continually live to deceive God's people. And Christ left apostles there to defend them and protect them from error and to lead them into all truth. And Christ continued his ministry through the apostles by building the church upon a firm foundation of truth, the full truth that he revealed through the apostles as they were inspired by his Spirit. Peter himself, he served as one of those apostles in the early church. And so Peter knew from experience how much the church needed a continual reminder of the gospel. Peter and Paul and John and all the other apostles, they preached and they wrote letters to remind the church about Jesus Christ, who is our King and Head. And at this time in Peter's life, he recognized a potential challenge. It really seemed okay as the really 13 apostles after Paul was added to him, as they were going around the world proclaiming Christ and leading the church and training elders and pastors and calling them back to the truth. But something important is about to happen. And maybe it's not as profound as you think. It's very ordinary, but it would have very extraordinary effects. Peter was about to die. In verse 14, he wrote, "I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me." You see, he knew that when he died, he would not be around to shepherd the church and remind the church of the truth through his preaching and his teaching. And so Peter, he made every effort to make it possible for the church to remember our identity and hope in Christ from generation to generation after his death. And that was part of the apostolic ministry. That's why he, Peter, and the other apostles were ordained. And how is it that Peter and the apostles did this and put a continual reminder before us? Well, the answer is Scripture. That's the second provision Christ gave to us. It's Scripture. Actually, you might even say that the giving of the apostles is the giving of Scripture. But we see here that Peter is concerned with what happens after his death. And so Christ not only gave the early church the apostles to build the church upon the foundation of the gospel, but Christ left us with the written Scriptures through the apostles. As I think about the rest of the New Testament, and I think about this passage, you know, it really seems like maybe verses 12 through 15 are not Scripture. Maybe they're the words of Peter. You know, it's Peter saying, I'm an apostle. I'm really concerned with you. I'm going to make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to recall these things, the truth of the gospel. But as I thought about this strange packaging of the letter, I think, though, it really reminds me of a sort of continuation of John 14 through 16. I don't know if you remember in our study of John 14 through 16, but John there, in John 14 through 16, we find Jesus in the upper room. We call it the upper room discourse, basically where Jesus has taken the apostles privately by himself to explain to them the ministry he would give to them. Jesus was preparing the apostles for his death and his resurrection and his ascension. He was preparing, in other words, the church for his departure so that and for how the church would operate and how the Christ would minister to the church from his reign in heaven. You see, Jesus faced a problem like Christ. Soon Jesus would no longer walk on earth so that people could come up to him and be taught by him and hear his voice. But you see, in the Gospel of John, we find the glorious provision of Christ. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to the apostles, specifically so that the Spirit might bring to memory all that Jesus taught. And so the Spirit of God might lead the apostles into all truth. And so that the Spirit of God might reveal what to expect in the future. Christ ordained the apostles to carry on the work of building his church upon this truth. And ultimately, the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to write the New Testament Scriptures as a permanent reminder of his truth for every generation. And so what's interesting here is I think this is Christ speaking through Peter, his apostle. But in Second Peter chapter 1 here, Peter's in a similar place as Jesus was before the cross, in that upper room, facing his death and showing his love and care for the church for after he leaves. First of all, Peter's about to die. What's interesting is he's about to die a death just like Christ died, just according to Christ's prophecy in John 21. Peter's work as an apostle was coming to an end. And since he loved the church, he expressed his will to leave us a continual reminder of our identity in Christ. Peter knows how that we are apt to forget easily. So he urges us to remember the gospel continually. But even more so in verse 15, Peter commits to making it possible for us to remember Jesus. Even after Peter leaves and goes to his grave and the rest of the apostles go to the grave, and the church could no longer hear him preach. At this point, we need to stop and ask, what did Peter leave? What is this continual reminder of Jesus Christ? Well, I think there are two answers to this. Not two different answers, but two parts of the answer. And I think the first is that Peter wrote this letter in 1 Peter to be read regularly as a reminder to resist the world and persevere with faith in Christ. I think it's fairly obvious as we have this letter and the letter of 1 Peter delivered to us and Peter confessing that he's making every effort to provide a way for us to remember Christ. And what better way than the canonization of his work, the inspired word of God we find in these two letters from Peter. But the second answer, I think, is a little bit less clear And it takes a little bit of study through history and knowing a little bit more about how the Bible came to be. In verse 15, Peter promised to do something in the future. What's confusing here is he says, I will make every effort. So it's like he's, as he's writing this letter, he's going to do something else also. And so we need to scratch our head and think, what's he talking about? Well, there's much speculation about what Peter meant, but I think one answer is most helpful. Peter, it's very evident, worked very closely with Mark. And I think what we find in history of the church is Peter wrote closely with Mark to write the gospel of Mark, the testimony of the ministry of Jesus Christ, the self-revelation of Christ and the history of his death and his resurrection. You see, we have the letters of Peter, and we have letters from many historians, and we have ancient history that attests that Mark's gospel came from Peter's testimony. And so what do we find here is this provision of Christ through his apostle Peter so that we might remember the Jesus Christ, the gospel, God's covenant with us. I think it's simply the scriptures and specifically from Peter, the gospel of Mark and his letters. Christ has provided for us, his people, his sheep with very short term memories, very easily distracted minds. He's provided us a reminder of the gospel for us to read and hear preached continually in the Bible. That's the provision, I think, that Peter's talking about. That's the provision that Christ promised as he ordained and called apostles to serve him. Well, let's consider thirdly the command. The command. There's a command here. You may look for it directly, but I think we have to find it by implication in verse 13. Listen to what Peter wrote. He said, I think it right, as long as I am in the body, to stir you up by way of reminder. You see, Peter's purpose is to stir us up or to wake us up and to remind us continually of who we are in Jesus Christ. And this purpose implies a command that we must take to heart. If Christ, through his apostle Peter, is calling us to wake up, then there is an implied command that we need to wake up. We must take to heart what Peter says here. We must wake up to the old truths of the Bible over and over and over again so that we don't forget them and live as if we have forgotten that we have been cleansed from sin. And so consider two ways that we can follow Peter's lead and wake up and keep remembering our salvation. And the first one is humility. The first thing we need to remember is humility. We have to acknowledge how quickly that we can forget reality, the reality in which we live. You really just need some bad things to happen in your life for you to forget the Lord's grace and provision. But we need to acknowledge that we are forgetful. We're not like elephants with this memory that lasts forever. Christ calls us to live by faith and not by sight. And that means that we have to believe something is true that we don't see, but we understand as it's revealed to us in the world. And also we still live with weak and corrupted minds that resist clinging to the truths of the scriptures. On one hand, we don't really want to study the Bible. As we get down and study, it takes work. On the other hand, our minds are just messed up. And we easily forget, just like I do this morning, just like you forget names and important things from your education, or kids forget when their parents ask them to do something. We need to know that we are forgetful. And when we know how quickly we will stray and fall and forget who we are in Christ, we'll be more diligent to live our life in light of that truth. We'll be more diligent to use the scriptures daily and weekly to remind us of Jesus Christ. So we need to have humility. And that leads us to the second part of this command, the second thing that we need to do. And we need to understand that the Bible is not a book to study once. We must use the Bible as Christ intended. You don't just read through it once. You just don't go to seminary and say, I'm done. Rather, we need to read the Bible over and over and over again because we often miss what Christ really has revealed to us in the Bible. Sometimes the truths of Scriptures don't get past our mind to transform our hearts. We can confess what the doctrine says, but we don't really believe it in our heart and hasn't taken residence inside of us. Even the smartest, even the most mature people in the church need a reminder of the simple truths of the Scripture. And the easiest way to follow Peter's lead, the easiest way to follow Peter's lead is to read the Bible every day and to think about its meaning. Read through it every year if you can. Reread the parts that you think you know and understand. Or maybe even let someone else tell you what to read so that you don't say, well, I don't need to read this section anymore. I already got it under my belt. Or maybe you say, that I've never really liked that section. And so you often need someone else to force you to read it. We need that continual reminder that of Christ that we find in the Bible. And Christ has also provided a reminder for us every Lord's Day. A continual weekly reminder every Lord's Day. If you need another reason to keep the Lord's Day in worship, to be here in the morning and evening to feed deep upon the Word of God, remember that Christ has provided the preaching of the Word in worship to remind you of the gospel each week. Objectively, it will wake you up out of your tired. It'll wake up your tired soul. It will wake up your forgetful soul. Because very often as we read the Bible and we think, well, you know, it's just too good to be true. Or this applies to someone else. But the preaching of the Word says, no, it applies to you. Listen to this part of the Scripture and the revelation of our God. What a great provision the Sabbath day is, and public worship on the Sabbath day it is to remind us of our gospel, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to lead us into all truth, truths that may be familiar to us or unfamiliar to us. And even more so, many churches have abundance of time and resources and can teach Christian education classes or Sunday school classes. And the subjects in these classes, they may vary between new material and simple material or even old material. And really, it's just foolish and naive for us to think that we don't need to hear the same old truths about Christ again. Remember, Peter wrote that we need a continual reminder of the truths of the gospel. And if we ever live in some sort of pride that we have it all down, we're going to do what the church has done for 2,000 years. Forget, lack appreciation, walk away, and live as if we're blind, as if we've forgotten that we were even cleansed from our former sins. So here in this passage, we find a command to humility, to understand who we are, that we need to go back to the old truths of the Bible, the old truths of the gospel over and over and over again. And we need to embrace that provision of Christ, the Bible, in the public and the private reading of the Bible and the public preaching of the Word of God. And even in the sacraments, the visible Word of God, to remind us over and over again of who we are in Jesus Christ. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote this about preaching. Martin Lloyd-Jones would be maybe considered the greatest preacher in the world in the 20th century. He was a Welsh pastor in England. And this is what he said about preaching. The business of the church and of preaching is not to present us with new and interesting ideas. It is rather to go on reminding us of certain fundamental and eternal truths. We need help getting through this life. Christ has provided his sacrifice. He's provided His grace. He's provided us His Spirit, and He's provided us His Word. So embrace the Scriptures, knowing that you need a continual reminder of who you are as the redeemed people of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would, by your Spirit, speaking through your Word, continue to correct our thoughts and our mind as we stray. Lord, we pray, O Father, that you would continually remind us who we are when we leave here. Cause us not to forget easily that you have marked your name and placed it upon us in the benediction. As we wake up tomorrow morning to go to our jobs and work the rest of the week, Lord, we pray. We pray that you would cause us not to forget who we are, forget your grace. We pray as hard things happen, may we not lose heart, but may we hope in you, O Lord, our God. Father, we ask that our children, as we plant the seeds of your word in their hearts, in our private devotions, in public worship, in our Christian education classes, we pray that our children would have your word so firmly planted in their hearts that it would be easy to remember who they are, and that they would always long to go back to your word, that may that be their first response to whatever they face in their life. We thank you for the apostolic ministry that you carried on after your ascension, O Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you for what your Spirit gave to us through that, your word, that we now live in a day also where everyone can have a Bible and read it. We live in a country where everyone can come and worship you morning and evening on the Lord's Day and hear you proclaim your truth and your call to salvation and comfort through your work of redemption. Father, we thank you for your wonderful grace that you give to your church and your covenant faithfulness. And we acknowledge that when we are unfaithful, it's such a wonderful thing to remember the hope that you are faithful. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.